So you've got a clogged drain in your bathroom. Water in the sink's overstaying its welcome. You're spitting today's toothpaste on top of yesterday's toothpaste. You hope that it'd go away. Yeah, clogs don't just go away. I make them go away. I'm Green Gobbler, the only clog dissolver you need. I'm bleach-free, safe for your pipes, and I work. Guaranteed or your money back. Because I never met a clog that was going to unclog itself. Green Gobbler. Let the gobbler get it.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:06. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today on News Radio 103.9, 1300 KECI, 98.3 FM, 1340 AM, KIHR. As it is a Tuesday, the 17th of June, here's what we're doing this morning with Cameron Eisenberg doing the producing today. Hood River County School District Superintendent Bill Newton's here. We'll talk to him about a number of different items, and then we'll talk to White Sam Mayor Marla Keithler. But first, as we always do, let's tell you both this day is men and what it means, at least to some people. 1775, the Revolutionary War Battle of Bunker Hill resulted in a costly victory for the British, who suffered heavy losses. 1885, the Statue of Liberty, assembly required, packed into 214 separate crates, arrived in New York Harbor aboard the French frigate Iger. 1930, President Herbert Hoover signed the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, which boosted U.S. tariffs to historically high levels, prompting foreign retaliation. 1963, the Supreme Court in Abington, Pennsylvania School District versus Shemp struck down 8-1 rules requiring the recitation of the Lord's Prayer or reading of biblical verses in public schools. 1972, the downfall of President Richard Nixon got underway with the arrest of five burglars inside the Democratic headquarters in Washington, D.C.'s Watergate complex. This day in 1994, after leading police on a slow-speed chase on Southern California freeways that every television network in the world decided they wanted to show us, O.J. Simpson was arrested and charged with murder in the deaths of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. Simpson was acquitted of the murders in a criminal trial in 1995, but held liable in 1997. 2008, hundreds of same-sex couples got married across California on the first full day that same-sex marriage became legal by order of the state's highest court. An estimated 11,000 same-sex couples will be married under the California law in its first 3 months. 2015, nine black worshipers were killed when a gunman opened fire during a Bible study gathering at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Dylan Roof, a white supremacist, was captured the following day. He'll be convicted on state and federal murder and hate crime charges and sentenced to death. 2021, the Supreme Court in a 7-2 ruling left intact the entire Affordable Care Act, rejecting a major Republican-led effort to kill the national health care law known informally as Obamacare. And on this day in 2021, President Joe Biden signed the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act into law, creating the first new national holiday since the establishment of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Days for today. It is World Croc Day today, as in we're saluting the crocodile today. And it's Global Garbage Man Day. We salute the folks who take away our garbage, as well we should. For food today, you know, yesterday it was National Eat Your Veggies Day. Today, apparently, it's National Eat Your Vegetables Day. I would have thought those were the same thing, but apparently we're being a little more formal today about it. It's also, as we go to dessert land, National Apple Strudel Day today and National Cherry Tart Day today, which is appropriate enough as we are in the midst of cherry harvest now in the Mid-Columbia. So there it all is for what it's worth. Might not be a whole lot. 8:09 in the morning, we'll come back and talk to Bill Newton, Hood River County School District Superintendent, right after this.
Making the decision for assisted living isn't easy, but what if the timing could help ease the burden? Hi, this is Jackie. At Hawks Ridge, we're offering a 3-2-1 summer savings. Move your loved one in by June 30th and save up to $6,000. $3,000 off the first month, $2,000 off the second, and $1,000 off the third. Give them the care they deserve and yourself peace of mind. Come take a tour today. Hawks Ridge, your second family is waiting.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. And each day, over 1,000 dogs are euthanized in shelters across the country. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war.
Hannah and I, since we've been together, we have done so much. There's nothing I won't do now as long as Hannah's by my side. Without Hannah, I'd probably still be stuck in the living room with the curtains drawn, with my back to the wall, with probably a gun on my lap.
The majority of service dogs from Canines are rescues, and with each pairing, two lives are changed forever. We rescue the dog rescues the warrior. To learn more about how Canines for Warriors is saving lives at both ends of the leash, please visit caninesforwarriors.org. That's caninesforwarriors.org.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:11 in the morning. I'm Mid-Columbia Today. Hood River County School District Superintendent Bill Newton with us. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, another year is done.
Yes.
For the school year, I should bring up. I take it graduation went well and everything?
Yeah, graduation did go really well. It was a beautiful night. We graduated over 300 students. And I would also say the lead-up to graduation was pretty special. The week before, there were a lot of celebrations, like first and family celebrations. Mm-hmm. We had 38 families or students who graduated first and family. We had over $450,000 in scholarships, local scholarships, on top of students that graduated. Like, I know we had a couple of Questbridge scholarships, which are full scholarships. We had a Ford and a Gate scholarship for our students. And so it's just a really special, you know, couple of weeks leading up to graduation. So, yeah.
So a good finish.
Very good finish,
for the school year.
Yeah.
Budget got passed.
Yes. It did.
That was a lengthy process, obviously.
Very.
You did get, I guess, more confirmation than it was, in a way it was good news that it happened, but some relief on the PERS side.
Yeah, so we are going to receive an additional $500,000, which we were expecting over the last couple of months, so we were glad to see that actually made it through legislation, and so that's going to help our bottom line.
I say the $500,000, is that something you planned for?
It was.
Because it came midway through the budget process, but did you? I take it you adjusted and put it in.
We had that planned, yeah. The one thing that we were hoping for that didn't happen was the special education cap.
Yeah.
That was not funded, and so because of that, we were actually expecting some of that to, about half of that to be funded, and because of that, we will need to make some adjustments. We're trying to do that without affecting personnel, but it'll mean probably like discretionary funding will get trimmed back.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think the cap's 11% of enrollment, correct?
It is, yes.
And I think your number's like 15 or
just under 15%.
Yep. Which is not an unusual story for school districts. I mean, I imagine
not at all.
Probably somewhat higher.
Yep.
The question I guess I have on that is, why are we seeing those numbers increase? Is it more that we just do we just know more and find more issues earlier and for the for the better, I would assume.
Yep.
Or is what?
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah. So, why 15% of our enrollment ends up in that category?
Yeah. I would say yes. One, we do a better job of identification, and providing supports for our students. It isn't something that's just local either. Like, for example, just across the river in Washington, they actually had a cap of 18% and they eliminated that. Mm-hmm. So we're not alone in this. As far as the why, I think it just comes down to, we're in a time and age where we can identify students who have a disability and in order to be able to provide them the supports they need.
Because I think back to like maybe when I was in school and kids who were designated in special education, they were kids who were dealing with some fairly serious physical disabilities usually.
Yeah.
That definition certainly has changed.
Correct.
Over the years.
Yep.
Do kids now go into special, they go into a special education track, if we're identifying, and basically I'm thinking of learning disabilities. Do we see them, they're in for a while, and then though they come back out of that special education track into the everyday educational track, if you will?
So I would say, first of all, we take identification really seriously, okay? Yeah. The identification of a disability for a student is a serious piece. And so, yes, you will see some students who will demonstrate the ability to no longer have the need for a special ed identification or the need for continuing support. I would say that is not that is like an anomaly, I would say.
Right.
More times than not, when a student has a disability, they are going to continue with that. We're going to continue to support them with that throughout their tenure in school.
What's the purpose of the cap anyway? I mean, I would think for, to me, it would be like no district's going to have the same percentage as the other districts for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, why aren't we just adjusting? Sometimes I'm sure you have a lower number, and sometimes you have a higher number.
So it all comes down to money.
Yeah.
So the cap is saying, the state is willing to give up to 11% of funds for special education. And we were trying to get that up to 15%. When I say we, lobbyists, educators, administrators, superintendents throughout the state, we're trying to get that number up. Because when that happens, we're getting money identified specifically for special education, which means then that we don't have to use general fund dollars to offset those special education costs. And unfortunately, that didn't happen, so we will need to continue to use general fund dollars to offset those special education costs.
And we probably should point out at this point, some of your special education costs are mandated from higher than the state of Oregon.
They are. Well, it's also state and federal.
Right. You've got mandates, and this is the old story from a lot of local governments agencies is
unfunded mandate.
You're not getting the money to be able to do the job in some cases.
Yeah.
So with the budget now in hand, I mean, budget process never stops in reality. It never does.
Yeah.
A lot of what was talked about was not just about this upcoming year, but 2 years down the road. Is PER still the big concern?
It will be. Our concern is in 2027, we will have a point where we're going to need to do one of two things. One, we're hoping that we can go out for another bond in order to offset those costs. So back in the early 2000s, we had a side account or a bond to offset those PERS costs. That falls off in 2027. And so we're hoping that bond rates at that point in time are sufficient to allow us to then reduce those costs for us. If that's not the case, then we will need to look elsewhere, which means going towards like our general fund, which then impacts our staffing and what have you in our district.
Another money factor, of course, is enrollment. You did your kindergarten registrations. I know you never truly know till September.
Correct.
Get that.
Yeah.
But any sort of trend that you're are we seeing the gradual decline trend continue?
We are. Yeah, and we're expecting to see that over time. We've done some studies, and so we can use the birth rates. We also know affordable housing, as we've talked about, has an impact too. So, yes, we are seeing those trends. Yeah.
Which now ties into long-term facilities.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a chance to talk about this a lot because the budget for next year kind of overshadowed that for a few months.
Yeah.
But I think you mentioned tomorrow you're really starting to embark on
this.
We are. And though you've been doing it for a while. But,
yep.
But on some long-term facilities planning.
Yeah.
And this time it's a lot about, you know, obviously aging facilities are always what this is about.
Yeah.
But I think this time I'm getting the feeling there's going to be a lot more discussion about some of the athletic facilities and things like that.
Yep.
That those of us who are around this know they're aging really fast and are in need of some help.
Yeah. No, we have some beautiful spaces, you know, like you go watch a baseball game or a football game. What incredible spaces to be able to watch, you know, athletic events in Hood River. But at the same time, it takes a lot of effort for upkeep. And so we will be taking a look at that with our committee as far as what can we do to provide upgrades to our athletic fields and gyms and so forth, especially when you do get around. And we've talked about this, Mark, when you get around to some other school districts comparable to our size, what they offer and provide. And so we want to see what we can do.
Right, because I think most of all, use the conference you're in, which you're going to be in, I think, Northwest Oregon Conference now for quite some time.
Yeah.
Most have field turf facilities for football and baseball and softball.
Yep.
Their gyms are newer for the most part. A lot of the schools are newer.
Yeah.
And then locker room facilities. So Hood River Valley High School was built just before Title IX.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in just before.
Yep.
If it had been built 5 years later, you would probably build double the locker rooms this district would have built, but you don't have the sufficient locker room space right now.
No, and it's also not equal. Like, when you take a look at the size between the girls' locker room and the boys' locker room, the size differences
wasn't
quite contrasting.
Wasn't a consideration
in
1970.
Not. Yep.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Whereas part of the issue, though, you have is footprint on properties is a problem here.
Yeah.
Because middle school doesn't have any room.
Yep.
High school is constrained, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to start to also look at, as you go through this process, I guess, innovative ways to deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that's got to be a big part of this.
Sure, you bet. Yeah, and so starting tomorrow, our committee is meeting. We're starting at the high school.
Yeah.
We're going to tour the high school, and then after that, we're going to hop on a bus, and we're going to drive down to Hood River Middle School and do a tour here. And then if time permitting, then we're going to make our way out to Pine Grove. And the idea is, over the summer, so in July, we'll repeat that same process, hitting a couple of different schools. August, the same thing. The idea is by the end of summer, we will have toured each of our schools as well as facilities, like even our transportation maintenance department and so forth, in order to get an idea of what the needs are to help our whole committee really get a picture.
Yeah, but, it is truly a overall issue here. I mentioned a few things that I deal with more on a regular basis in my role.
Yeah.
But you can go up and down the list here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And are there certain things that you sit there and go, I'm thinking about like boilers and HVAC systems. Are there certain places you go, we've got to get this into this process?
Yeah. So, and we're just at the beginning stages of that.
Sure.
And so, like, for example, we have a list for each of the schools that is, we're in the current practice of prioritizing that list. We're asking our administration to do that. We then also have a project management team. It's called Winnaha, who supported us in our 2016 bond with the development, on the building of May Street Elementary, as well as a lot of upgrades at all of our schools. They are familiar. OPSIS Architecture is also very familiar with our school district, having worked with us since almost the early 2000s. So they, too, will support this conversation about what is important, what do we need to prioritize when it comes to, like, roofs and boilers, HVAC systems and carpet, you know, all those types of things.
How far do you feel – are you behind, or do you feel like you're behind in the routine maintenance, forgetting anything necessarily aging, but in terms of just the routine maintenance that helps, of course, extend lifespans?
Yeah. I would say we're getting better at it. We've made some investments in our maintenance department in order to be able to try to stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge. Anytime you're going through budget reductions and so forth, it is going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So how long do you expect this process will take? You mentioned this summer, the tours.
And then in the fall, we'll start then engaging in like community listening sessions. Right. Mm-hmm. And really you're taking this, you know, all these different ideas, large scope, and trying to narrow that scope down. And mm-hmm. we want to try to accomplish that by June of 2026.
Right.
And then at that point in time, I'll then share this information with our school board. Mm-hmm. And we'll also have conversations over the next year about financing options, yeah. provide that information to the school board, and make a determination as to whether or not the timing is right with our community mm-hmm. to go out for a bond in fall of 2026, or if the timing's not right, then knowing that, you know, we have mm-hmm. this need, waiting and seeing when that time is right.
How much do you also factor in the potential for financing from through outside sources, boosters, fundraising, et cetera, that add options for you?
Yeah. We really haven't engaged in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like what we're talking about here is millions and millions of dollars.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so it's pretty large, mm-hmm. which is hard to get at with yeah. those options that you just mentioned versus, a bond.
Well, there are options. I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out what high school I was at. Now, I make fun of this all the time, but I understand why. High school, the name of it was a football stadium last year, and mm-hmm. they sold the name of the football stadium.
Yeah.
It was a business.
Yeah.
I wish I remember the school. I forget which one. Because it's not common yet, but boy, you can see it coming.
Yeah.
And
you see it at the collegiate level.
You see it at the collegiate level now everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's coming to the high school level. I mean, it started to go there.
Yeah.
I do wonder at some point if you do have to start to look as part of the creative process, different ways to acquire the money.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking of, though, also is, what level do you have to get to qualify for some state matching dollars? I mean, we talk about this with the building usually of, like, May Street Elementary School you guys qualified for.
Yeah.
It's not a lot in a big school
yeah.
construction, but every little bit helps, yeah. obviously.
There are matching funds. So if you mm. do, if your community does support a bond, there right. are awesome funds from mm. the state. That's an acronym that yes. actually helps dedicate money then to our community. So it helps mm. incentivize our community to approve a bond, because it's leaving money. You know, if we don't pass the bond, then it's mm-hmm. leaving money that we could have used from the state, and so it's helpful.
Real quick, speaking of facilities, summer is always, of course, the time of year that, well, for some folks it's a little easier in the school business.
Yeah.
It's not for your maintenance facility folks.
This, no.
Their season is underway.
Totally, yeah.
What's on the docket this year? Is it more just general maintenance or?
It is, yeah. It really is. It's about getting into a schedule and a routine with our custodians and maintenance staff to get in and do those deep cleanings throughout the school district. And at the same time, we also want to be good partners. So we have people wanting to access our gyms, our fields, even like right now up at YE's Middle School. We have part of that school being used by the Oregon Department of Forestry because they need to have incident command for the Rowena fire at mm-hmm. this time. And so, you know, there's all kinds of different needs, too, that we're trying to support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bill Newton, Hood River County School District Superintendent, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Mark.
Bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at news, talk White Sam with Mayor Marla Keeler in a few minutes.
Are you in need of quality printing services in the Dalles area? Look no further than Bonds Printing. With over 119 years of experience, we offer a wide range of printing services, including business cards, brochures, flyers, and more. Our state-of-the-art equipment and expert team ensure that your printing needs are met with exceptional quality and timely delivery. We also offer custom design services to help bring your vision to life. For all your printing needs, trust Bonds Printing, 308 Union in downtown the Dalles.
Did you know the majority of Oregon's wildfires are started by people? Just one careless flick of a small cigarette can spark a big wildfire. Never discard smoking materials out a car window, in bark mulch, or in outdoor vegetation. Make sure your smoking material's completely out and properly disposed of by using a fire-safe ashtray or container. We all love Oregon's wild landscapes. Let's do our part, too.
Keep Oregon green.
Learn more about wildfire prevention at keeporegongreen.org.
The 2025 Wasco 4-H Summer Camps are back all summer long. Summer fun while learning. Intro to 3D printing will be June 17th, 9 to 12, at Chenoweth Elementary School for ages 9 to 14. Maker Studio is from June 24th through the 26th, 9 to noon, and July 1st through the 3rd, 9 to noon, at Chenoweth Elementary School. Codecraft Virtual Game Edition. Mondays, June 30th through July 28th, 9 to noon. This is a virtual class for ages 9 to 15. Archery on Target for ages 10 to 18 will be July 8th through the 10th. Introduction to Vex IQ Robotics. Learn to design, build, and program a Vex IQ robot. July 8th through the 10th, 9 to noon at Chenoweth Elementary School. Survival Cooking Camp is Wednesday, July 16th, 10 to 3. 4K Hikes, Cirrhosis Park, and Disc Golf for ages 9 to 16. Friday, July 18th, 8:30 to noon. Sign up for all the classes at their website, beav.es/WascoDayCamps.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:30 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Containment of the Rowena Fire went up to 37% last night. Size of that fire increased slightly to 3,570 acres. Fire officials of the Oregon Department of Forestry Complex Incident Management Team 2 say containment increased due to efficient firefighting by air and ground resources. Firefighters worked strategically around the fire perimeter, extinguishing hot embers near the fire edge. The southeast side of the fire experienced gusty winds in the afternoon. That forced firefighters to pause the felling of hazard trees. They'll resume that this morning with winds lighter. North Central Public Health District has issued an alert advising those in Rowena Crest Manor and the Tule Water District to not use tap water for drinking and cooking until further notice. The district says some areas in those water systems lost pressure in the aftermath of the Rowena fire, and those conditions may have caused harmful contaminants to enter the water system, leading to the advisory against consuming the tap water. In addition, residents in those areas advised to limit the use of hot water, limit shower time, and use lukewarm water and ventilate the area. Use a dishwasher to wash dishes and use the air dry setting. Wash clothing in cold water. Do not take baths or use hot tubs or swimming pools. Use only bottled water for drinking, brushing teeth, making ice, and food prep, and do not try to treat the water yourself by boiling or other methods. Potable and bottled water available at the Dallas Middle School. NCPHD says will inform residents when tests show that the water is safe again, but they do not have a time frame for when this will be resolved. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek has been one of the loudest voices urging lawmakers to set aside a dedicated funding stream to mitigate against and fight wildfires. On Monday, said she'll take what she can get from legislative budget writers while that conversation continues. This was the clearest signal that to date that lawmakers are unlikely to deliver a large and sustainable source of long-term fire funding this session. With only 13 days until they must end the session, by June 29th, lawmakers still have not put forward a package to pay for wildfire mitigation and suppression on an ongoing basis, a priority for Kotek and some legislators. Democrats have pushed for a new source of funding to pay for those efforts, while Republicans have argued that paying for fire is a matter of rearranging the state's existing budget. The City of the Dalles has declared a state of emergency banning personal fireworks use under a recently adopted ordinance. Wasco County issued an order banning fireworks due to fire-related safety concerns. As a result, the use of all fireworks now prohibited within the city limits of the Dalles. The prohibition includes lighting, igniting, or setting off any type of firework. The sale and possession of fireworks not restricted. The ban does not apply to commercial fireworks displays that are approved by local or state government, including the state fire marshal. Weather today, going to be sunny again. Gusty west winds, though, up to around 25 miles per hour. And our current temperature, 63 in the Dalles, 60 in Hood River. 8:32 in the morning. We'll talk white salmon after this.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
The Hood River Valley High School Booster Club needs you. The Booster Club raises funds to support clubs, sports, and activities for Hood River Valley High School students. It's a great chance if you enjoy connecting with others and helping your community's youth. Monthly meetings are held every second Monday of the month at 5:30 at Hood River Valley High School. We can make the best experience possible for our students with your help. You can volunteer to help the Hood River Valley High School Booster Club by going to HRVBoosterClub.com. That's HRVBoosterClub.com.
We weren't sure adoption would happen for us, but when it did, it happened threefold.
Mary and her husband first met their three children when they became their foster parents. Little did they know that their house would become the siblings' forever home.
We had to help them adjust to the idea that they wouldn't have to leave. Children in foster care have lived and survived so much. We had to help them process their trauma. And now to hear our children say that they know they have a mother and father who take care of us, teach us, and love us means everything.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is committed to finding safe, permanent homes for the longest waiting children in foster care.
I not only love these kids, I am just so proud of them.
You can help. Visit DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:35 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by the mayor of White Salmon, Marla Keeler. Good morning, Marla.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I just finished my summer camp drop-offs with the kids. I think any other parent of young ones knows that summertime is really just the child care shuffle. So
yes, it is.
I'm in a quiet car.
Now you're in a quiet car. Okay. I guess first of all, I want to mention real quick, you guys have a water conservation notice out there right now.
We do, yes, and that's the result of a pump failure that supports our reservoirs that feed the Strawberry Mountain pressure zone. And so that northern stretch of our city limits is under the conserve water alert.
Mm-hmm. So that means, of course, you know, limit your outdoor washing, the car washing, those sort of things, kind of the non-essential, if you will, use of water.
Yes, and really I think, you know, what happened, we have two pumps that feed the reservoir, one of the reservoirs that supports that pressure zone, and had called out for some regular maintenance, and good thing we did because they discovered that the pump was certainly in need of maintenance, one of them so much so that it was not able to continue to be serviced. And on the heels of that came that first heat wave. And so that's where we really saw the reservoirs get drawn down. You know, obviously a lot of people with those 100-degree temperatures we had a few weeks back started really using water more than they usually would. And so we have the conserve water alert now, just as you said, for people to be mindful about their water use. Certainly still do your laundry and take care of yourself, but maybe some of those extra things, especially this time of year when we know a lot of people are looking to maintain their gardens and do ramped-up irrigation. We're hoping that people can be a little bit more mindful, and we expect it to last about 2-3 more weeks. We're seeing the levels kind of maintain right now, which is good, but it'll be about 3 weeks until the repair is completely done and everything is back to running as it normally would.
And as long as we're talking about water here, we probably should alert especially families in the White Salmon area, even though this is pretty well known because you've had to do this for a while now. People who in White Salmon, if you want to get a pool pass for the Hood River Aquatic Center and you live in White Salmon, you can get that done.
Yes, and I'm so glad you mentioned this because I think this is a great effort this year. You know, in years past, White Salmon has done it for its city residents. Bingen has done it for their city residents. And then the White Salmon Valley Pool District has made sure that everyone in the larger district outside of city limits also had access. And this year, the city's worked with the pool district, and now all of that is going through the White Salmon Valley Pool District. You can access a link to sign up through our website, whitesalmonwa.gov. There's a banner on the top. But really anybody that is in those larger district boundaries, which really are the school district boundaries inside Klickitat County for the White Salmon Valley School District, is eligible for those pool passes. And that is something being supported and provided first by the Park District and then the cities, the funds that our councils had allocated to that service are supporting it this year as well.
And if I remember right, I know that there's a separate district for this. I don't mean to talk too much about this with you as mayor, but if I seem to recall, the Washington legislature, there was something included in their budget for the White Salmon Pool this time.
That is what we're hearing. I know that they were, we learned this year, especially at the federal level, you can never take funding to be a certainty until the funds are delivered into your account. But my sense and what I've heard from the Park District is that they were successful in some of the requests that they had asked for at the state level. They were waiting for that final signature from the governor, which certainly now is in place. And so I don't want to speak on their behalf, no. But we are hoping to get the Park District to our city council this summer to give a presentation and just an update on that overall funding plan for the new pool. But from what I sense, the little bit that we've heard, it is encouraging, and it does sound like they've found some partnership at the state level, which we knew was always going to be a key part of making that pool happen.
I only bring that up because, I mean, it has been now years since that pool had to be shut down in White Salmon, and this has just become you're closing on a generation of kids at this point that didn't have a pool in town, which is really unfortunate.
No, I agree. And, you know, we're living it. I recall it was a tough decision that we made. I was on council at the time when we had to close that pool. And I think at that meeting, I had my daughter, then about 8 months old, in my arms, and she's approaching 7 years old. And so you're correct. And I think that to the credit of our community, the pool district commissioners, this is what motivates them. And, you know, they're all doing it in a volunteer capacity. And even though it's taken much longer than any of us could have envisioned, I am hopeful that I think this momentum that it sounds like they are getting through the state legislature this past session finally spurs us, and that we are really looking at some shovels digging into that land in the next couple years, because there is a sense of urgency of just that opportunity to make sure that our youth that are growing up in our communities are getting that essential life skill. And you know, in the past, that was something that was right around the corner in downtown White Salmon. And so having a new pool up at the larger school facilities where our intermediate, junior, and high school kids go would be a huge win for our community, but really that whole part of Western Klickitat.
I will try to get some folks on about this. I have not talked about this on the show now for quite a while. But
Mark, looking at me to fill all these gaps over here. I can only do so much.
The reason has been, though, because the fact of the matter is, it kind of became out of sight, out of mind. I mean, until this recent news on the state funding, you know, it was kind of like you could talk about it, but there was nothing really to talk about because it just was so under, you know, the lack of funding for it at that point. This whole thing is, it's, you know, you have to go to a certain funding level to go from concept to feeling like there's some concrete reality, and it wasn't there. I mean, to be honest.
Well, and you know, I think this is what we talk about a lot, and I know you see it, especially interacting with all of us and our different roles in the region, but it speaks to why you really need the support at all levels. And you're absolutely correct. It's the Park District's been doing everything they can in recent years, and they've been doing the same level of advocacy and pushing the same sense of urgency. But until you can get that partnership to really tip in that direction where the higher layers are paying attention, and finally, I think the state did, and that was this key puzzle piece that hadn't completely been falling into place in past sessions. And so hopefully, you know, that does now spur and people are re-engaged, because it's hard to keep people's interest and attention when years go by and you're saying the same thing, but you're not achieving one of those markers. And so I really applaud them for keeping their heads to the ground and moving forward, because I think that the community is ready to lean back in and support and be active supporters, but you really need that momentum, and I think they've gotten it. And so, you know, hopefully at our council meeting this summer, and hopefully in one of your programs in the coming weeks, we'll all get that update, and it'll be news people can be excited about.
Turning to actually the city of White Salmon that you are the mayor of, I think tomorrow evening, you're going to get a housing action plan update, and this is something we have talked about before. I take it this update is going to be, you know, how much progress has been made over the past number of months.
I would say years. You know, years ago, June of 2023, our city council passed a housing action plan, and that really has been our guiding document for how we've been approaching work on that large issue. And, you know, this past year and a half, we really had a lot of work that was concentrated on having secured a grant through the state to implement some of those short-term goals. And we made headway there. We brought in a consultant, but this is a really interesting time for us as a city, because now we have a new staff planner on board. They're kind of working this transition as we've phased out. That grant ended this June, and so it's a perfect time to come back to the council and say, here's where we are. These were the things we prioritized out of the gate when you passed this plan. We knew there were some short-term wins that we could probably achieve. And now we're kind of at this middle point where some of that work has been in place. We can evaluate. It's also brought forward new issues. I know you and I have talked about how we as a city have really became aware of the burden that infrastructure and the role that infrastructure plays when you're talking about housing, especially if it's outdated and needs improvement. And so the goal tomorrow night is to really do that ground truthing of here's where we are, here's what has been done, here's what's on the horizon. They're going to receive a laundry list of a lot of directions we could go, but I think what staff is hoping to hear is some clarity on what are those key things where they really want to see attention focused, because we are still a small team, and certainly some of this work might also require us to enlist outside consultants, and so we're hoping that this can really be a launch point to set the course for the next 2 years and what we'll focus on and the areas that the council really wants to laser in with.
How difficult is it with a plan like this? I mean, it is such a long-term plan to kind of stay on a course when, you know, city councils are not static. I mean, you have different people on there now than when this plan was adopted. How difficult is it to maintain? We tried to talk about maintaining momentum in the pool sense, but
yeah,
as you get different viewpoints, do the goalposts change a bit?
Definitely. And I think that's why, you know, the spirit of these plans is really to be that guiding document. What is the North Star when we're talking about housing? And within that, almost by the structure of it, it requires some broad focus because things are going to shift once we're in the middle. So, you know, out of the gate, certainly one identified goal was we need more diverse housing stock. You can't solve the housing problem by only focusing on one type of housing unit that needs to be built. It's really the whole variety to meet people where they are, not only at different economic levels, but life stages. And so that was that initial goalpost. And we really focused and moved and passed a lot of code changes for the types of housing that can be built. But then a new goalpost quickly, you know, gained more prominence. And that one really was what's under the streets. And we always, it's not a surprise to us that our system is a patchwork of some portions that are modernized and others that are in need of improvement. But what this did was kind of accelerate the sense of urgency around some of those projects that when we looked at them only from the public works lane, we said, well, this is a lower priority. It might be a smaller, you know, branch off of a main line. And we really see the more wins if we focus on these larger projects and secure that funding. And now housing kind of inserted itself into that conversation to say, well, wait a second, we're not seeing some of this land get developed. What are the barriers now? And a barrier clearly might be that small portion of the water line that's not as important in the bigger picture if you're only thinking about infrastructure projects. But when you brought into that housing goal, it does kind of go up in priority. And so I think that's really a key point that we're at. And I credit our council because I think that they have, as we've seen some new faces come in, they stayed consistent in what the end goal here is, which is to create the housing that our community needs so that the people who live here currently can continue to live here, that the businesses that we have that are employing local residents are still able to sustain their operations because they have viable housing options for the employees, whether it's seasonal or year-round, that they rely upon, and that all of those people can live and contribute in our community. And so, you know, thinking about that as the target, there's all kinds of things underneath that to really achieve that goal. You know, we've spent a lot of energy on this area of focus, which is really about the stock itself or home ownership, but I don't want to diminish how important also rental access and availability is and security for tenants in our community. And, you know, this session in the state, they passed statewide tenant protections in terms of rent increases, but our city council led on that a couple years ago. And now the state has kind of followed that lead. I'm not saying they took it from white salmon, but clearly we were onto something of realizing that, you know, 10% seemed like a fair cap or ceiling for how much rent increase could be given to a tenant year over year that still is a stretch for many. And what we did in the city was just increase the notification window to give renters more time to assess the market. But there's not a lot of rental opportunities out there. And so even a six-month lead time doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to find something at a lower or more affordable price.
Also, we probably should mention here, tomorrow evening, you're going to get the six-year transportation plan, which you do pretty much every year. Anything new, different?
Well, I'd say that we've shifted our strategy with this. And so working with the county, you know, there are certain dollars that come into the state, federal dollars, that then the state is releasing out to counties for different projects. And so we're intending to be more in partnership with the county going forward, because oftentimes what will happen is there will be funds that are returned back to the state, maybe a project that couldn't move in another part of the state itself. And so they want to make sure that those dollars get used. And so you'll notice in this version of our six-year transportation plan, yes, a lot of the streets are the usual suspects. If you live in town, you know the ones that are most in need of repair. There's quite a few. But what we've done is try to split apart some of those sidewalk improvements that in the past have always been bundled with many of those projects, so that we can be more nimble. If there's a smaller amount of funding that becomes available and we're able to activate a portion of one of those projects that improves the pedestrian access in a part of town, we're hoping to be able to do that. And so that's a main shift. Another one is just some priority movements. You know, this plan goes every year through our city operations before it comes to council. There will also be a public hearing tomorrow night so people can weigh in. But the street that we're prioritizing is Church Street, and that's from Tohomish to Columbia, and that's really part of a larger vision for that street that would include kind of a village pathway that would connect from Jewett to Tohomish. So there's like a little side area that's been activated in new ways this past year with our Third Thursday events. I think you'll see that this Thursday in town. And then the rest of the street getting improved for vehicles. And so that's a project that we're ranking number one because we've identified some funding opportunities later this year that we hope to pursue.
Whitesand Mayor Marla Keeler has been our guest this morning. Marla, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good day.
Have a good day. It's 8:50 in the morning on MCT. We will come back and continue toward wrapping it up after this.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Dear Traction, Toyota has 25 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. The RAV4 has legendary versatility. The Grand Highlander's adult-sized third row is for real. And the Tacoma's wild side comes standard. From job sites to campsites and game nights, there's an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive Toyota to get you there in style. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
With over 2 years of technology in the making, Downey Sleep Center presents the brand new Sealy Posturepedic Mattress Collection with $200 off any size on the most popular medium feel. Find your perfect feel for the most comfortable night's sleep now. We offer delivery, setup, and takeaway. And if that bright early summer sun is waking you up, Downey Sleep Center has a solution for that too with custom window coverings. Stop in today for all your sleep solutions. Downey Sleep Center, local, family-owned, in the Dalles and in Hood River.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
There are some things going on in the area. The Dalles-Wasco County Library Summer Reading Kickoff Party is at 10:30
in the morning today. Bounce house, snow cones, and free stuff, which that's always a good thing. That's going on at the Dalles Library. Unit 20, Oregon Retired Teachers, meeting at noon today at Divots in Hood River. That's a venue change they announced a few days ago. But retired school personnel and guests from Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties are very welcome to attend. Central Gorge Master Gardeners, their garden gathering series, managing to keeping trees healthy with OSU Extension Forester Glenn Aarons. 6:30 this evening, that's at the White Salmon Library. Do want to remind people also tomorrow, the Rowena Fire Recovery Multi-Agency Resource Center will be back 4 to 7 tomorrow at the Wasco County Veterans Services Office on 401 East 3rd, Suite 100 in the Dalles. So if you're in need of some help after the Rowena Fire, you can most certainly go there and they can hook you up with the various agencies you might need to see. To make that occur. Hood River County Library District, they've got their summer reading kickoff tomorrow, 5:30 at the Hood River Library Lawn. Music, tacos, ice cream, and you can sign up for the library's summer reading program. 8:54, we'll come back and finish things up after this.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I'm the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
I never considered myself to be a heavy drinker. At first, I only drank with friends, then to get through the day. I hit rock bottom when I realized I was choosing alcohol over my family. That's when I made the call. With my doctor's help, I was diagnosed with alcohol use disorder. Now, I'm getting to the root of my addiction and finding better ways to cope.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. And it is now 8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Want to mention again that Rowena Fire Recovery Multi-Agency Resource Center, 4 to 7 tomorrow at the Wasco County Veterans Service Office, 401 East 3rd, Suite 100 in the Dalles. And I guess we're going to announce some more dates here as we go along here. But Wasco County Sheriff Lane McGill is going to be with us tomorrow on the program. Obviously, he's been very busy the past few days. And we'll talk about the Resource Center, what's available there on Wednesday. But also, we'll talk to Lane about what, you know, kind of go behind the scenes maybe a little bit on the response to that fire. And he said at one of the press briefings Friday, I think it was, that, you know, this is the worst he's had to deal with in his law enforcement career, with the loss of houses, you know, et cetera. Luckily, no loss of human life to this point is known of. But Lane will be with us tomorrow. Also, we will be joined on the program by White Salmon Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. So that is what is coming up tomorrow on this little radio show. We'll mention again, North Central Public Health District, they've got an alert advising those in Rowena Crest Manor in the Tule Water District to not use tap water for drinking or cooking until further notice. They have some areas in that water system that lost pressure in the aftermath of the fire, and they may have caused harmful contaminants to enter the water system. Now, residents also are advised to limit the use of hot water, limit shower time, and use lukewarm water and ventilate the area. Use a dishwasher to wash dishes and use the air dry setting. Wash clothing in cold water. Do not take baths or use hot tubs or swimming pools. Use only bottled water for drinking, brushing teeth, making ice, and food preparation. Do not try to treat the tap water yourself by boiling or other methods. And potable and bottled water is available at the Dalles Middle School. Now, the health district does not know a time frame for when they think this will be resolved. They will inform, of course, when tests show the water is safe again. So that's what's going on, that part of dealing with the aftermath of the Rowena fire. There'll be a lot of aftermath, obviously, to be dealt with over the next little while. But we'll continue to try to keep you updated on that as we go along here. I will note the Rowena fire folks said in their update last night that they issued, that was going to be the last evening update they do. They're going to go, I think, down to daily updates until they're finished up. Very fire down in the Cottonwood Canyon area. They have sent the management team home, has gone home. So that one pretty much is getting wrapped up at this point. We're done. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Wednesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Rowena Fire Recovery Multi-Agency Resource Center, Columbia Gorge Food Bank, County Clerk, County Assessor, Veteran Services.